Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Nadine, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Nick, Dawn, and Greg. How are you?
We are well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Friday, right?
Yeah.
So I just wanted, a lot of people don't know this. I used to work for Aetna and CVS are sister companies. CVS has a infusion company, so I used to work for them. The insurance company, what a lot of people don't know is with Aetna, you have to go to CVS to purchase your medications. So it's kind of like a, you know, backdoor situation where CVS and Aetna are sister companies. So they're getting money both ways, you know, mm-hmm. through the insurance and through CVS.
Right. Pharmacy plus, you know, the insurance connection. Yep.
Exactly. And then a lot of people also don't know that doctors and nurses aren't the ones that decide on the certifications and the approvals and stuff.
Right.
You know, so they're just the administrative assistants or receptionists or whatever goes a little higher than that.
Sure.
But whoever's behind the keyboard that gets that in, they're the ones that decide on whether like, for instance, Dawn's son, whether he's going to be able to get that medication for his diabetes. You mm-hmm. know, they're the ones that are going to decide whether or not that MRI is actually necessary for your diagnosis, stuff
right.
like that.
Yep. It's frustrating that it comes down to, you know, perhaps one person at a desk or in a cubicle that makes those decisions
exactly.
to tell you, the person that's not only experiencing the symptoms and the pain, but you're the customer. You're the one paying these people's salaries, and then they tell you what's acceptable and what's not.
Exactly. And then the other thing, the CEO of CVS and definitely CVS, I don't know if it's Aetna as well, but she makes money. She was on the Forbes, I want to say top 10 women over like probably about 5 years back. She was making millions and millions of dollars, millions of dollars. And you're like, okay, well, can I get a raise maybe? You know?
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well, Nadine, thank you so
much. We don't have them in the budget.
Yeah, it's not in the budget. And then all of a sudden they get these bonuses and yeah, it's a whole different thing. Nadine, thank you so much
exactly.
for the call. We appreciate the insight.
Oh, thanks. You guys have a great Friday.
You too. There she is, Nadine in Phoenixville. All right, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:08. Very triggered by the insurance companies.
Yes.
Dawn Stensland.
Yeah, and we have some important follow-ups today as well that we'll get to. Kale & Company News Live, this morning edition, as we talk about 28 degrees, mostly cloudy, but I will tell you when a big warm-up that you're going to love is on the way here. So that's in the forecast. We are sponsored this morning by Budget Blinds. So in the news and under investigation, these two tragedies that appear to be as a result of the high winds, up to 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts that happened yesterday, and two women in two different incidents were killed because of that. I will say that in one, this was just outside. It was actually on the property of Roxborough High School, where all light poles are being inspected at the track, not just in Roxy, but as well throughout the entire school district of Philadelphia. This after this huge light pole on the property of the school just came crashing down, striking and killing a 73-year-old lady who was getting her steps in, it was around lunchtime, actually, just getting her steps in, walking around the track, and this huge light pole comes crashing down. They rush her to the hospital. They were not able to save her life. And so at this point, a letter did go home to the Roxborough High School students notifying parents about the incident. And now today, the follow-up here, because it's still pretty windy outside, not as much as yesterday, but throughout the city of Philadelphia, they're inspecting all light poles to make sure they weren't compromised. To prevent another possible tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys track your steps? Do you have any device that tracks your movement throughout the day?
I have a Fitbit.
Right. Yes, we did talk about that a couple days ago.
It's great. Not only does it do steps, it shows your heart rate.
Calories.
All that stuff. Yeah. It's absolutely shows your sleep score. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like how well you slept the night before.
Would you get a 7 out of 10?
I had an 80.
80?
Wow.
Last night,
So
that used to be a B.
Nice.
That was a B back in my day. Is that still a B or is that a C now, Dawn?
I love it. And then we had still under investigation the case in West Whiteland Township. And that's where a lady, presumably the mom, 30-year-old woman, driving a big Chevy Suburban with a 5-year-old little girl in the back and a car seat. Huge tree comes down. This is Chester County. Huge tree comes down, crashing on the SUV. The 5-year-old little girl, she's in the hospital, but she survived, thank God. But the 30-year-old woman was killed in that situation. That's the latest. That's still under investigation. And another follow-up that we want to talk about is we've talked about a lot about these so-called, these crime tourists, as they've been called. People who come to this country, and maybe they come illegally in the first place, or maybe they come to the country on some kind of a work visa where they come in, but then that's only a temporary visa, and then they kind of get lost in the country, let's say. And we're seeing this more and more, and kudos to the Philadelphia Inquirer. They have an article about it today following up on something that we broke here in Kalen Company as far as that case in Abington, where in Abington they were able to confirm that these are really either cartels or these individuals who are groups of illegals who are also believed to be, criminal rings, crime rings coming here.
Have you noticed, too, with all the reporting that you've done, that it's been Abington, it's been the Main Line, it's been Montgomery County? I don't recall you giving these stories in any of the other collar counties. It seems like it's very focused and centralized on Montgomery County, if I'm thinking of this correctly.
It's wherever they'll give us the information. From the sources I have, it's happening everywhere, Nick.
Okay.
It just depends on whether that police department wants to stick their neck out and say, yes, these individuals have an expired work visa or they came here illegally.
Yeah.
Because most, and I'm not even getting into politics, most just don't want to deal with the backlash, the political backlash of saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah.
But from all accounts, this is across the region. And that's why I think this is a significant breakthrough that, the headline in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and I always want to give credit where credit's due, they investigated this across the region, and they said these serial burglaries targeting homes from Gladwin to Fishtown, part of a trend of these crime tourists, according to police. So from Levittown, I've talked about them in isolated situations, but they're putting it together in one article, and I just want to give credit where credit's due. But this after Lower Marion Township Police has issued a warrant for a 39-year-old man who they say is believed to be one of these serial burglars who's been striking from Bucks County, Philadelphia, and beyond.
Yeah.
And so they're putting out that information. I just think it's significant that he is he's identified by police as Eric Gomez, 39 years old. They've issued a warrant for him. So in other words, he was already on parole and he was already here, I guess, on an expired visa or something of that nature.
I love how you framed it, and these officers have to view it as sticking their neck out there for publicly saying something is against the law, or we need to really act on something that is a total hindrance to society. Maybe we should have Tom Homan spend a month looking around Montgomery County. I think Tom Homan might be able to clear things up real quick.
Well, I think, to your point, if ICE can come in and not get political with it, but just say, we're focusing in on criminals, known criminals in your community, who, by the way, the first people they're going to prey upon are, in fact, the Hispanic or immigrant community.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the first victims.
Yeah.
So let's get the criminal element out.
Right.
If they just can focus on that, I know that police departments will work with them.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But it has been so politicized. And to your point, Nick, why are criminals, why should it ever be politicized?
Exactly.
It's
right versus wrong, good versus bad.
It's just crazy time.
Yeah.
But I did want to say they have a warrant out. They know who, they believe they know who this one suspect is, and I think they're on to it. So kudos for the Philadelphia Inquirer for putting that out there.
Good.
I talked about the tree lighting last night. So Philadelphia is officially in the holiday spirit with the big tree lighting, a lot of festivities going on. I know in my community in Chestnut Hill, we've got our big holiday parade that is wonderful. That takes place tomorrow morning. But I will point out to you that President-elect Donald J. Trump, he received the honor at the Fox Nation Patriot Awards. He's Patriot of the Year.
Did you
shocking.
See? Did you,
shocking.
Shocking. I really thought it was going to be somebody else.
Oh, my God. It was a nail biter there.
Yeah. I mean, when you get shot in the head, I think it's a lock that you win it. Did you see Sean Hannity wearing the McDonald's vest?
Yes.
Dude. I got to have a conversation with that guy. Like, yo, enough.
He's still relevant.
Like, it's just enough. How many markets are is your show on?
Oh,
these
man,
days?
That's all right. That's
so
all right.
Lee Greenwood was there singing God Bless the USA.
Beautiful rendition.
Entrance song. I love it.
Yeah.
And Trump then gave a speech reflecting on his campaign, obviously, for the White House, and argued that the country's already seeing the fruits of his victory against the current administration.
By the way, you said Philadelphia and the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
I have to make an admission here on the show.
What?
For the first time yesterday for this holiday season, I tuned into a little Christmas music.
Ugh.
Good.
Yeah, I did. Yep. Got about 3 songs, 10 minutes worth. Got my fix.
What'd you hear?
Oh, it's a great question. It wasn't the typical Wham and Mariah Carey and God, I heard Michael Bublé, and which is, by the way, I can't. It's just painful.
Oh, come on!
But there were some other ones that I heard. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but there, I was feeling it. I was.
We were listening to my sister's our sister station B101. I was in the car with the boys, and you know, we started singing. You know, it's just nice.
I dropped the girls off at dance at like 5:07, and so I popped on our station and. Yeah, so I didn't want to say the station because of, you know, Zioli's going to get mad that I'm listening to B101 and not him at 5:08, but yeah.
Well, I'm sure you had it on the Odyssey app. Oh,
of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you can listen to other things.
Yes, I listened to the first 2 hours and 6 minutes.
So our forecast for today, we dropped down a little bit, if you noticed that. But it's chilly, windy today, not as windy as yesterday. Sunshine with a few clouds. And yes, the winds we will see earlier in the day part, we'll still see up to 30-mile-an-hour winds for the first half of the day. But then that'll die down after maybe 2 p.m.-ish, thank goodness, with a high of just 37 today. Tomorrow for your Saturday, partly sunny, 39 degrees. So still quite chilly and below the averages. Sunday, I guess this is in honor of the Philadelphia Eagles, plant game. Eagles. So,
Eagles.
Yeah, there you go. 50 degrees for your Sunday. So mostly, we'll see some glimpses of sun, mostly cloudy, but very mild, 50 degrees. And then we continue that mild trend through the early part of next week. So by 55 by Tuesday. So we'll continue the 50s Sunday, Monday into Tuesday. Tuesday's 57 degrees, Wednesday 55 degrees.
All right.
So a nice warm stretch. We are sponsored by Budget Blinds. As I said, the holidays are coming. Budget Blinds, your one-stop shop for blind shade shutters, custom drapery, motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com. Get your free in-home consultation. And Budget Blinds has the only no-questions-asked warranty in the entire business. Schedule your holiday consultation. Ask about their special radio offer. Thank you, Budget Blinds, for sponsoring Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. The cut sheet coming up at 7:45. Before we get there, around the bottom of the hour, we will get to this incredible story about sniffing out bias in the media, a fascinating concept that is on the way as soon as 2025, and we'll do that coming up shortly. But just to wrap up here, I said to, you know, when we were teasing some of the stuff earlier in the show, McDonald's fans, you're in for a rude awakening if you love the McRib, which I know many, many people do. I think actually Sean Farish is a fan of the McRib. Maybe he'll have some thoughts on this as Donald Trump coming up at 8:30. But according to a story from the Daily Mail, that McDonald's fans were shocked at what a McRib is actually really made of. I'm not really surprised. I'm shocked that people are surprised that it's not real rib meat.
By the way, thank you, Nikhil. It's when you get any of the stuff like chicken nuggets or anything. Yeah. It's not real.
No.
Well, it's
real. It's just.
Well, how many times is like chicken nuggets or tenders considered like they call it rib meat, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's from somewhere on a chicken.
it's like all the odds and ends that you would never want to eat.
That's what they should call it, Nick. Odds and ends.
The odds and ends. Yep. Yeah, the scraps.
Beaks and a-holes.
So the Daily Mail.
The Great Outdoors. Come on.
That's correct. The McRib, which is the seasoned boneless pork dipped in tangy barbecue sauce and topped with chopped onions and pickles, which is really, I think, the only way to eat a pork sandwich, unless you want to throw some coleslaw on there, makes sporadic and limited time returns to the fast food chain's menu. It's built up quite the cult following over the years, and it returned on November 29th, and many people were very fired up about it, although they have now realized that the meaty treat is made of pork, but it's not actually a rib cut, but it's actually the pork shoulder. Which I don't really think. I mean, people have had pork shoulder. Like
that's what I make pulled pork out of. I think
right. When you go to your Acme or whatever,
pork shoulder,
you get a pork butter, a pork shoulder.
Yep.
You put it in a cooker or whatever. Boom. And now people are having meltdowns. One person saying it's basically spam. Another person saying I hate the McRib. It's the hideous taste of the thing that I can't understand why people obsess over. However, others are saying, and we've been on a big health kick this week talking about Make America Healthy Again this week with Bobby Kennedy and big takes like that. A lot of people saying I really don't care what's in it. If it's not going to make me sick and it tastes good, what's the big deal? I'll have another.
They should basically, then they shouldn't call it the McRib. They should call it like a McPulled pork sandwich or something. You know what I mean? Like, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. But they've got to throw the Mick thing on everything, as they like to do with branding. And then one person says, this does not affect my opinion of the McRib at all.
No,
McRibs have always been awesome.
But some religions don't eat, many major.
Middle East, right?
If you're Jewish or Muslim, you're not going to eat pork. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know that. So I hope that they disclose it to people.
My biggest surprise was that the McRib actually debuted in 1982. The McRib's actually been around for 42 years.
I that shocked me.
That's the shocking part of the story, in my opinion.
I thought it was like a 90s thing.
No.
Yeah, me too.
It started in 82. It dipped in 85 after low sales. It returned in 89. And it was around until 2005 before making a disappearing act.
They've done a really good job. McDonald's has done a really good job of putting it on the menu, taking it off the menu, putting it on the menu, taking it off the menu.
They tease you.
They tease you with it. And then when it comes back, they have this grand, like, it's back, ladies and gentlemen. Like, they do a very good job of marketing it. I think that's all it is. I think if you go to any of these regular barbecue joints, you know what I mean? They're 300 times better than the McRib.
Of course.
But McDonald's is such a great job of marketing it that it makes you want to have it. So I need to have the McRib, and then you eat it, and you're like, God, this is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
They said it's from consists of restructured meat products like heart, tripe, and scalded stomach of a pig.
There we go. The stomach of a pig. Yeah. Nice.
The McScalded stomach.
Yeah. I'd love to see Trump with a hostage video with Bobby Kennedy like tied down to like a table being forced to eat a McRib.
Well, it's like Scrapple.
Yeah.
It's basically like mixed. They should make a McScrapple. That's basically what it is.
You like Scrapple? You, yeah. If you're ever at a breakfast joint, you get sure. a little scrapple?
Absolutely.
Nice and crispy?
Yeah. Delicious.
Damn right it is. 855-839-1210, the number. We'll come back. Big story in media bias. I know I did a big take yesterday on media bias by omission, as Dawn likes to talk about a lot, as well as censorship. But the L.A. Times, after rejecting Kamala Harris via a presidential endorsement with their current owner, now wants to snuff out the bias and let you know how biased said article is. New technology on the way in media. We'll discuss that on the other side. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I just received the official word from Ken Chase from Conservative Tours and actually Dave Dorenzo. They said the Italy trip, and this is the Italian Riviera this spring, this trip is almost, we're almost complete here. We're packed. And so I've been warning you, it's been filling up. So this is your last chance. As you know, I've fallen in love again with Italia. I do know why. And if you joined me last year in Italy, you know why. Italy is the most revisited country in the world. So I really hope you join me next spring on the Italian Riviera. Lorenzo and Romina, yes, they're back with us once again. Conservative Tours crafting this incredible itinerary that's sure to enchant us. Tuscany, the Riviera, the Northern Italian Lakes region, Cinque Terre, and dining events you're going to write home about. $53.78, yes, that includes your airfare, Pisa, Michelangelo's Florence, and the fashion capital of Milan. Call toll-free 888-733-9494, or you can just go to conservativetours.com. Luxury hotels, a Mercedes coach, a tour leader who, of course, is absolutely the best. That is Conservative Tours in Italy. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Charming Siena, home to Il Palio, the medieval Manhattan, San Gimignano, Modena, Lake Como, Vernaggia. I could go on and on about this. Join me next spring in Italy. Last call here. I'll see you in Portofino, conservativetours.com. You've got a book today. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I think this might be one of the most fascinating stories of the day, because we talk a lot about media and media bias and the way the left covers things, the way the right covers things. And the Hollywood Reporter with an interesting story where they talk about this new bias meter that the Los Angeles Times owner is going to create.
The bias meter.
The bias meter.
I
love it. Dawn, this could be a very profitable thing. I think he should give you a cut of this, because you talk about bias all the time. And they write, weeks after scrapping a presidential endorsement of Kamala Harris.
How dare they?
You take it up with them, Kamala. I don't make the rules here. That has been prepped by his editorial board. The owner of the LA Times says that his product team is working on a new tech-driven bias meter to add to articles on the paper's website as soon as next year, which I actually think that every publication, major ones that can afford this, Washington Post, New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, you name it, The Inquirer, they should all do this.
Doesn't Newsweek, there is some kind of a, somebody does have a meter.
Yeah. Yeah, there's probably some national publication, which maybe Newsweek ought to do it to themselves, because their bias is certainly in one direction. The idea, as Dr. Patrick Soon-Shong presented, sounds like a module that presents multiple viewpoints on a particular news item, as well as allowing for some versions of comments to be integrated. And it marks the latest signal from the billionaire that he plans to reshape the Times as the second Trump administration gears up, and after the exits of multiple edit board members following the lack of endorsement for Kamala Harris. Remember, we covered this, you know, weeks and weeks ago about all these people leaving newspapers that failed to endorse Kamala Harris. And Scott Jennings, Republican that you see on CNN, is going to be involved with this. He says, imagine if you now take, whether it be news or opinion, and you have a bias meter. Whether news or opinion, more like the opinion or the voices, you have a bias meter so somebody can understand as a reader that the source of the article mm-hmm. has some level of bias. They also go on to talk about what we need to do is not have what we call confirmation bias, and then that story automatically, the reader can press a button and get both sides of the exact same story based on that story. They hope to launch this as soon as January. Jennings, who said, quote, "We're talking about a fusion of content created by journalists and technology that you're developing that will give readers a more well-rounded opinion or complete view of a story."
Question from the audience here, meaning me. So if you write an article that says the sky is red, then there's something you can click on there.
Correct.
That says the sky is actually blue?
Correct. Now, this would be under the umbrella of the LA Times, but I would imagine this would be copycatted. The
sky's actually not blue.
Right.
You see it as blue.
Right.
I'm sorry. But... okay, so there's something in there that's almost like a footnote.
Think about this. I tried to visualize this as, remember we were playing the clips of like Ask Alexa, where there was bias infused into it, where, you know, somebody's in their kitchen and they say, "Is Donald Trump a good human being?" And you get one answer. And then you say, "Is Joe Biden a good person?" And you get a completely different answer. And remember, some of them were like, "I can't really comment on this." And then you ask about Joe Biden and it's, "Well, Joe Biden has been a loving father," and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, "Oh my God." And you start rolling your eyes. That's what I envision with this.
Don't we already have, like, that's basically what the community notes are on Twitter, right?
True.
Yes. Twitter kind of already has this.
Yeah, snow, like, fact-checking? Like, well, it's just fact-checking, right?
I don't think that it's fact-checking, because that would imply whether or not something is true or false. I think these are more like opinion columns where you can, and I don't think you really need this technology, because if it's in the LA Times or if it's in the Washington Post, 99 out of 100 times, unless it's a conservative columnist that they employ to, you know, represent some semblance of balance, you know the slant that's going to be put on this from Jump Street. Although, I do think this would be interesting, because if you click on that button and you find out that it's actually, because we live in this day and age where nobody has an attention span, and as soon as you see something from the New York Times, or on the other side, as soon as you see something from Fox News, you just assume it's one way or the other. But what if you didn't take the time to actually click on it and read it and consume the context of the article and the content of it, and maybe you totally missed the boat on it? Fox News might put out something. You think automatically it's right wing. Well, what if it's written by Jessica Tarlov? She's a liberal, and you didn't take the time to actually read the article. I actually think this is fascinating. I'm going to play around with this. I like playing around with things, as we've established on this show.
I've heard that about
270towin.com.
Yeah.
Remember when I was playing around with the map?
Yeah.
What do you think about this, Dawn? You're the bias doctor.
I think the truth is it depends on their algorithm or how they're going to do this, because what I think, when I look at something and I see the bias, am I going to see the same thing that somebody at the LA Times sees?
Well, you're actually like a bias button from a human standpoint. Greg was reading the article from the Associated Press yesterday that he cited. You immediately sniffed out the bias with just one word in the wording.
Yes, it's all in the way that they word it, or what they bias by omission, what they're leaving out. And that's not even about an op-ed. That's just horrible, because there are more than two sides to the story.
Of course.
You know, so why not just do your job?
I agree.
And report on every which way you can look at this.
Yes.
You know?
By the way, speaking of bias in the media, the Associated Press got absolutely destroyed a day or two ago for a story that they did a bunch of investigative reporting. Remember the story we had in Memphis, Tennessee, with the guy that got jacked up by the gang unit police officers that had a history of brutality?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
So they did a deep dive on police brutality in Memphis, and they concluded that the police in Memphis, in the headline and in the story, and I read the story, shows an unbelievable amount of aggression towards black criminals in Memphis. What they failed to put in the entire story, and I read the full thing, is the overwhelming majority of police officers in Memphis happen to be black. And that was not in the story. So you talk about what they put in or what they leave out. If you don't know the demographics of the law enforcement staff in Memphis, you might just assume that this is white cop assaulting black suspect or criminal, when in reality, they realized that the Memphis Police Department has a terrible history of this, and it's still ongoing, and it's black cops assaulting black criminals or suspects. And it was not in the story. And you can research and you can pull up the Memphis Police Department and see the demographics of everybody that they employ. And it's staggering. and they give you, and of course, the Associated Press is one of the biggest culprits of this when we talk about bias and bias by omission.
And that same kind of story is making headlines in our region in Trenton, in New Jersey, that they're saying that the headline this week is that, oh, Trenton PD, that they, this Department of Justice under this administration coming down on them, saying that they have an inordinate amount of police brutality against people who are black in the black and brown community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just it. So is it really, what else could be going on here?
Yeah, right.
And they always want to jump to racial issues,
mm-hmm.
but they never mention in these reports.
Right.
I mean, unless it's, you know, I guess if they are assuming if it's an all white police force, which in Trenton, of course, it's not.
Of course not.
So they never really look at the other factors.
Well,
they focus on race.
That doesn't sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
If a black cop assaults a black suspect, it's not a huge story. If a white cop does it, it's, you know, the media looks to make it out to be, you know, Rodney King 2.0. So media bias. Pay attention to this. I'd be interested to see if this gains steam and we start to see this maybe work its way, because everything starts out on the West Coast and then works its way this way. Be interesting to see maybe if the Inquirer does something like this.
There's a fairness meter. If you go to any, if you just put in Newsweek,
yeah,
and they have you seen this where it says Newsweek is committed to journalism that's fair, factual and fair. So I'm looking at an article about Trump, and it says the meter is all the way to the left, and it says unfair left leaning. That's the meter on this particular story. So
unfair left.
There also has to be, I mean, we have to also differentiate between a news story and an opinion column.
Yes.
1,000%.
Because, yep. You know, when you're reading an article in the opinion section in the New York Times,
yes.
Then you know that it's somebody's opinion.
Of course.
And
because
take
of
that
the
with,
section it's in.
Exactly.
There's an inherent slant naturally.
Exactly. So, right. Like, if it's a front page news story,
mm-hmm.
you would expect more of a balanced approach to it.
Right.
And I think that's where they need to make sure that it's, that they are keeping that line of, you know,
yeah.
To use a cliche term, fair and balanced,
yes,
right?
Yes, and that's why I think places like the Associated Press should get back to that. Like, I mean, I get it, if Vanity Fair or Newsweek or Rolling Stone want to go in one direction, whether I agree with it or not, I understand it. But, like, mm-hmm. there's got to be some semblance of just... And that's why I think CNN keeps missing the boat, right? MSNBC does left-wing at a more successful rate than CNN. Fox obviously has the right-wing market cornered, despite, you know, some people liking Newsmax or OAN. CNN, if they were smart, if they got back to what they used to be 25, 30 years ago, they would probably have a much better bottom line.
But think about what they were then and when they started, and that's the difference. So they figured out, see, they used to have reporters all over the world
mm-hmm.
and on the ground. And we saw even, we played that clip of the border. It was an MSNBC reporter, and I know that you had it on your cut sheet, I don't know, a year ago or so, where you had an MSNBC reporter they put at the border, right?
Yeah.
And that person was seeing, that reporter was going, holy moly, and seeing what was happening and
mm-hmm.
talking to the residents, you know, American residents on the American side and the Texas side that were dealing with, you know, people camping out in their backyards and all of this.
Yep.
And so the truth was coming out, because you can't, when you're there on the scene, you're telling what's happening
mm-hmm.
and the truth is in your face.
Right.
And so then you saw MSNBC like, oh, you know, and they just like, okay, let's get rid of that reporter
uh-huh.
As far as that report. And so the issue here is that they discovered that it was much cheaper to bring in pundits who they pay a little something or nothing. Because a lot of people just want to have a platform to, maybe they're an attorney or they want to do a political career or whatever. So they're willing to actually be a pundit and go on Fox News or, you know, especially CNN or one of these different networks. And they're a pundit on the panel. They're not getting paid.
Of course not.
So now it's cheap and easy to get mm-hmm. the pundits in the studio, in their bubble, and they're giving this disinformation and
yeah.
misinformation and
spitting
this spin.
Cakes, yep.
But if CNN and all these networks, if they go back to that old model of journalism where you're just out there on the scene, then you will see the truth enter in. The truth is going to come out when you're out there on the scene.
By the way, speaking of two things here, speaking of MSNBC, did you guys see Joe Scarborough have an absolute meltdown.
Yeah, through a little fit. He's losing it.
20 minutes. He went on a 20-minute tirade yesterday during that show.
We should play it for the whole cut sheet.
I have two cuts. I'm not going to play it. I have two, like, 90-second cuts because there's only so much Joe Scarborough I can take. He had an absolute meltdown about it. And by the way, apparently, and I haven't, maybe I should turn it on, because apparently people are saying that they are not on today.
Uh-oh.
I'm telling you, this is, how long have I been saying this is going to be a nasty breakup?
And I watched the entire 20 minutes because I'm, you know, I like to punish myself. They were actually mentioning guests that were going to be on tomorrow, meaning Friday.
And they're not on the air.
And they're not on the air today. I don't know. They're in a commercial break right now, so I can't tell you that. Also, secondly, that's coming up on the cut sheet, by the way, so we'll have that in about a couple minutes. Everybody in the YouTube chat is talking about Ground News. I don't know if you guys know what this is. Ground News is a site that does exactly what you guys are talking about.
I've heard of it.
It says, like, they take a story and they cite all the places that have, that are, you know, have news stories on it, and they said it leans, it's a biased comparison, like this one leans to the right, and it says 75% of the sources lean right on whatever said news stories is, and they do the same thing with the left.
Okay.
So they say, you know, this 99% of the stories, you know, lean left for these things. So there already is a site. I think it's a pay site. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Because you have to log in and everything like that. But but there already is a it's Willie. It's Wake Up with Willie right now.
What did I tell you about Willie Geist? Watch
you
him.
Did say that.
Told you. I'm telling you.
He really went scorched earth yesterday.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's hear it on the other side.
He ought to go have drinks with Ron Rowe Jr.
We have that
Service,
too. We have that too.
He can come have drinks with me if he's willing to pick up the tab. I'll listen to his BS.
There was a lot of explosions yesterday. I mean, media explosions. People just.
It's a great day for the cut sheet.
MSNBC is they're in a lot of trouble.
They're imploding.
They are imploding, and you hate to see it. But, you know, I can't. Do you guys think that network is here in 2 years?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it going to be owned by Comcast? No. Is it going to undergo a makeover? Yes. Yeah, for sure. But, like, again, wait till we get to February and March. Trump's 90 days in. Some of that audience will come back. Like, this whole thing of and I've said this, like, yeah, it's awesome they lost 50% of their audience, but, like, you know, some of these people need a mental health break. They'll come back in.
Yeah.
They can't quit Trump.
They're all listening to Christmas music now.
That's right.
Or
Kale and Company for the truth.
Well, isn't Rashida Jones, is she still there? Because I saw a headline where she was reportedly leaving.
Yeah, because of the ratings tank. I mean, what did you report? 36,000?
Yeah.
2554 viewers.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I can't. Like, they could quite possibly have no, and that's nationwide. Quite possibly have no 2554 viewers.
Right. That's not like being, you know, on AM radio in little old Philadelphia, you know, where the cameras don't work for half the show.
What are we, an hour and 50 minutes in?
Yeah.
They're okay now.
Yeah. They're fine.
We are really late for the cut sheet.
We are.
It's my fault.
Lots of meltdowns, lots of explosions on the way. A very fiery cut sheet Friday when we come back. But before that, since we're late, you'll have time to download an app. And the app you need to download, it's DuckDuckGo. Why? Because a 7-day trial offer was nice, right? Everybody loves something for free for 7 days. But what happens when they quadruple that to about 30 days? Because that's what they're doing right now. New 30-day free trial at duckduckgo.com/1210, where, of course, we're talking about their 3-in-1 Privacy Pro subscription service, which features, I think, the best element, the personal information removal. After you activate your account, you can actually track how many sites your information is on and the status of said removal of that information. How cool is that? Because seriously, it is your information that's sitting out there on the internet. We shop online, we buy things from Amazon, we sign up for this, we sign up for that, debit card here, social security card there. It's dangerous, and it's just sitting out there, and now it's removed, and you will know. Me personally, I signed up for Privacy Pro, and I found that there was 52 records on the internet of myself. Within 48 hours, 17 of them, or about 33%, gone just like that. And it can help you remove your records as well. DuckDuckGo.com/1210 Free 30-day trial. With that, you also get VPN and also identity theft restoration. I've had my identity stolen once before. It is not something that you will enjoy. And if it does happen, DuckDuckGo will restore it for you. Do it today. DuckDuckGo.com/1210
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
A bunch of guests, fundraising activities. It is a great time. Hopefully the weather cooperates and it's not 21 degrees.
Well, they're, the bars are inside. You know, there's the thing outside. All the bars are inside. You go in there, you hang out.
Yeah. You can brave the elements for a few minutes outside for some of the speeches.
We'll all be there.
There you go.
Yeah. And it's coming up. And it's for a great cause. We all party for a good cause.
That's right.
Great cause, actually.
That's right. And I just like to do shots with Stephanie Mack.
Yeah. Yeah, she's fun to party with. I enjoy her tremendously.
Yeah. She said, and by the way, she offered to train you for the bike ride this year.
She did.
So there'll be no excuses.
Well, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. I have to...
No, you don't.
I have to get... My bike has been in... I have a nice, like, 10-speed that I got for the race when I did it, like, 10 years
ago. In 09.
But it just needs a little tune-up.
Well, you've got 7 months to tune it up.
So our buddy Road Warrior at an independent bike shop down there in Manahawkin, New Jersey, told me that he would tune it up for me. I just have to get it to him. You know what I mean? So, because it needs, like, the tires are all rotted and the seat
Don't Road Warrior, do not let him procrastinate. He's going to drag this thing out.
It's funny you say that. He sent me an email yesterday. It said, dude, let's make a, you know, let's pick a date, you know, so we can meet somewhere.
Yes.
And you can give me your bike.
Make Greg's bike great again.
It will be great.
Migba.
All right.
All right. It's by the way, it's 8 o'clock.
I know.
Let's get to the cut sheet.
That's really this time to stick starts now.
On the cut sheet.
Yeah, what's on the cut sheet? Now 8 o'clock. What's on the cut sheet? Brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. Right now, lease an all-wheel drive XC90 for as low as $687 per month using all applicable rebates. See store for details. Retail relationships really do matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. Check them out over 70 in Cherry Hill, Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. All right, I will get to Joe Scarborough in 1 second. I want to start with the acting Secret Service Director, Ronald Rowe, who testified yesterday to House lawmakers, revealing the, quote, numerous changes the agency has implemented following the attempted assassination attempt of President-elect Trump in July in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this heated exchange that's been making the rounds. I'll get to that in 1 second. But first, I want to start with Representative, who is this? This is Representative Green.
You think is it Mark?
I think so. Who just dropped a bunch of S-bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically said, you guys don't give an S.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
This was must-see if you haven't seen this.
And this, by the way, it was going on mid-morning.
Yeah.
Started about 9:30 yesterday, and it was the final hearing, congressional hearing, looking into the attempted assassinations of Trump here in Butler, Pennsylvania, as well as the one in Florida.
Yep.
Yes, thank you, Doc. All right, this is... And really, was anything accomplished?
No.
Other than yelling at each other?
Theatrics.
Which
is all I care about.
Cut 7, Phil. I have to run this. Cut 7, go.
You know, it seems almost to me like it was lackadaisical. I mean, it's hard to fathom that someone would say, we don't need to cover this.
This is Mark Green.
Yep.
You know, and the communications issues with the local law enforcement, I asked the question when they came before the committee recently, when everybody showed up on the day, was there a check-in? And there were law enforcement agencies that had never even talked to Secret Service that day. I mean, these are really basic things. And it you would think they would know to do those kinds of things. So it speaks of a apathy or complacency that is really unacceptable in an organization like the Secret Service. One of my questions to you is, you know, the level of the failure seems unfathomable. The internal policies that weren't adhered to, the failure to mitigate very obvious risks, it speaks to a culture that, you know, lack of attention to detail, lack of sense of urgency, complacency. I mean, these are leadership. These are command climate issues. What is the command climate of the Secret Service? That's the thing that concerns me the most. When I reported to the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment commander to be their doctor, right? At that point in my life, I was 38 years old. I had graduated from West Point Ranger School, commanded in the 82nd Airborne Division, an infantry company. I had a master's in systems information. I had a medical degree, top of my med school class, and I wondered if I was good enough to be on that team. That's what I'm talking about. Elite culture where everybody comes to work every friggin' day saying, I will do everything I can to make sure I don't fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, going to war, I didn't give a shit if I died. What I didn't want to do was fail. But your guys showed up that day and didn't give a shit. There was apathy and complacency, period. And that's your mission now. I appreciate all the systems and the technology that everybody else has asked about. But this is a leadership issue. This is a command climate issue, a culture issue. Can you make a few comments about what you're doing to fix the command climate at the Secret Service?
There you go.
First of all, he was going after Roe, who's as much of a clown as Kimberly Cheadle, who he replaced. And to me, that's what I'm talking about. Anytime I talk about meritocracy, I want elite culture. I don't want a DEI culture. And that's what the Secret Service is. That's what all these federal agencies have become. These absurd quotas of DEI culture. And you, why do I say that? That lady that was on the stage with Trump, remember when he got shot and he was like looking around, he's got to get my shoe. They couldn't even physically, and Trump's a big dude, right? But I don't need a female up there that can't. He should have been whisked away, put into that SUV, and protected, right? Flubbling around with their holster, with their gun. Give me the best people that are showing up each day to kick ass and take names. I'm not interested in filling quotas.
But this is the new Congress that I think we're all excited about. This is Congressman-elect Dr. Mark Green, yep. Tennessee, unanimously voted president of the Republican freshman class and leading the 30 Republican freshmen in the U.S. House of Representatives. You know, so this, you could just hear the spirit of him as a military veteran, somebody who is a no-nonsense guy. He's also a physician.
Yep.
And so Homeland Security, all of that. I just love the tone that we are entering into the new year, and let's turn the page.
Yes.
Remember that slogan of Mrs. Walls? I think we truly are turning a page.
Give me competent, effective people. I don't care. I'm so sick of, well, what about feelings?
Okay,
your feelings.
Let me ask you guys this question, because, you know, I have to play devil's advocate. There was a lot of great back and forth. We're going to play the best one coming up in 1 second. Was anything accomplished?
No, of course not. Just like the Fauci grilling with Rand Paul, we love it. We like it.
So,
we applaud it.
We're okay with the bluster, but if it doesn't...
That's not fair.
Okay.
This has been ongoing. This task force has been looking into this.
Mm-hmm.
They visited
for way too long,
PA.
By the way. For way too long.
And they've been stonewalled a lot.
This happened in July, for God's sake.
Well, I mean, for a government committee, that's actually pretty quick, Greg, to be honest. You know, it's not the private sector over here.
Send in the Doge.
Is there, you know, the fireworks show you that the pressure is on. That's what I see. And these guys know. So when they're telling the Secret Service head, Ron Rowe Jr., that basically he was applying for a job. What's really going on here is that they know that Republicans are about to clean house.
Yes.
That's what's going on.
But there's your change. There's your results in a couple of months.
But the report will come out. So this was their final public hearing, but they are, you know, it's going to be a compilation of everything that they've found looking at PA assassination attempt as well as Florida, putting it together, and that report will come out. I think they actually have done some, you know, there's tangible evidence of what needs to be done.
Let me ask you something. You find it odd that the media, and I know we just talked about the media last segment with the LA Times, the media is more fascinated by and stuck on the killing of a healthcare CEO than the potential killing of a former president?
Mm.
Do you find that interesting?
Yeah.
A United Healthcare CEO is getting more media run for 3 days than Donald. Mm-hmm. The interest of the media in finding out what exactly happened with Thomas Matthew Crooks and why things occurred.
You never hear about it, do you?
No.
You never hear about it?
No.
Because, you know what? If they cover it, they have to show that iconic photo that will go down in the history books where Trump's bloody face with his fist up going fight, 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 and they just don't want to show that photo or that video.
Yep.
That's my theory on it.
You're right.
So, it's such a strong, impactful image.
So getting back to what I was saying, what's the objection to change the leadership in the Secret Service, to change the members? What,
like, the objective is to get rid of the institutional rot, and that is you know, fulfilling quotas, having females there. I saw you might have it on the cut sheet, or I saw it, somebody was saying that we need to have a transgender presence in the military. No, we don't.
Who said that?
There's a clip out there. I thought maybe I saw it on your cut sheet email.
No.
But if you could just search for it on X, you'll find it. No, we don't. If that person's good enough to be in said position, then fine. But we don't need to have somebody from some category just to say that we have representation.
Agreed.
The best of the best get the job.
I agree.
But I will tell you that you can get a clue of where they're going with this. This final hearing yesterday was entitled, quote, Secret Service Security Failures and the Attempts to Assassinate President-elect Donald J. Trump. So they had the hearing, went on for hours. It was highly contentious. Then that was followed by a business meeting to consider their final report, and they're putting that together. So the final report is going to answer your question, Greg.
Yeah.
But I think that what they're doing is they'll make the recommendations of everything that needs to be done.
I'm just tired of this dog and pony show. We, you know, they sit before a committee. There's these big hearings. We play about it. We're like, yeah, finally, something's going to get done. And then Jack, you know what, gets done. Well, that's what I'm tired
of. Let's face it. Kimberly Cheadle is out. So there was one.
And I think this guy's out.
Transaction, we'll call it, right? Kimberly Cheadle loses the job. Roe will be out. And once the new administration comes in, I mean, you got to remember, too. Yes, it's a dog and pony show, and yes, we saw the fireworks yesterday. That's December 5th. We still have to wait until January 20th before these types of switcheroos, or whatever you want to call them, firings and replacements and successions can take place.
Yeah.
But they've also been issuing subpoenas, for example. So they had to issue subpoenas for, you know, federal employees, ATF employees, as far as J-13th. They've done a lot. And so I think that you will see tangible evidence of what went wrong, and as well that the report will contain information to say this is what must be done.
Mm-hmm. This is the one that has been making the rounds. This is Texas lawmaker Fallon. What's his first name? Dan?
That I don't know.
The questioning became intense when Fallon asked Roe about Pat Fallon. Yeah, thank you. About the security presence for Trump during the 9/11 remembrance ceremony. We all remember that picture, right?
Yeah.
Where they're all it's Biden, it's Kamala Harris, it's Trump. They're all sitting there.
Right.
So he pulls up a picture of it and he shows Roe, who's kind of just standing in the back. Instead of protect, you know what I mean? Like, he was supposed to be the lead that day.
Yeah.
Was the whole point of this exchange, and it got intense. Roll it, Phil.
So I got another question for you. Do you recognize this photo?
There's all the problems.
Yes, sir, I do. Okay, is that the remembrance of September 11th?
It was.
Was it in New York?
It was at Ground Zero.
Okay. Who's usually at an event like this closest to the President of the United States, security-wise?
The SAC of the detail.
Special agent in charge of the detail. Were you the special agent in charge of the detail that day?
Actually, let me address this. Could you please, staff, leave that one up with the circle around me. Thank you. So actually, Congressman, what you're not seeing is the SAC of the detail off out of the picture's view. And that is the day where we remember the more than 3,000 people that have died on 9/11. I actually responded to Ground Zero. I was there going through the ashes of the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
I was there at Freshkills.
I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, Congressman, were you the special agent in charge?
To show respect for a Secret Service member that died on 9/11.
You're trying to be.
Do not invoke 9/11 for political purposes.
I'm invoking this.
You are, sir.
Gentlemen,
you are out of line.
I would like to ask him a question.
Please. You are out of line, Congressman.
Don't try to bully me.
Order.
I am an elected member of Congress, and I'm asking you a serious question, and you
and
are playing
politics. I am a public servant who has served this nation,
this
and
a,
you won't answer
time this
question.
Is a work
on
promo,
our day, on our country's
Mr.
darkest
Mr.
day.
Committee will come to order.
Politicize it.
Committee
answered,
will come to
I'm
order.
I'm asking you serious questions for the American people, and they're very simple. They're not trick questions. Yeah. Were you the special agent in charge that
no,
day?
No, I wasn't. I was there representing
Mr.
the
Chairman,
United States Secret
you
Service,
yes or no.
Sir.
Mr. Fallon,
you know,
your time
did not affect protective operations.
You know why you were there?
Expired.
Because you wanted to be visible, because you are auditioning for this job.
I was
job,
there to pay respect for a fallen member of this
20th.
Agency.
You endangered President Biden's life.
You want the truth.
President Harris's life, because you put those agents out of position.
Mr. Chairman.
You have a radio with you?
Mr. Fallon. And
you
your time has expired. Mr.
No, I did, sir, and you are out of line.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Please.
All right. We are
Holy
back
crap.
In order. We are back in order now.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh.
Mr. Musk,
it's a
work.
That whole thing's a work.
You know, I'm not typically a fan of having
a work.
Congress on the show, but if we can book Pat Fallon for the show, I'd gladly chat with Pat Fallon. That was glorious.
No.
I mean, that was when he went from 0 to 100 in 2 seconds.
That was fake, guys.
But Greg, you're
still great.
But Greg's A Few Good Men reference is perfect because the. You know, the person who lost it and the person who's being ripped in the media, and this is widespread, is Ron Roe Jr.
Yes.
of the Secret Service
yes.
losing it and screaming at a Congress member
mm-hmm.
and just losing it.
Yep. He's an empty suit as well, and he knows he's about to get zipped as
yep.
well. He's going to enjoy the holidays,
the,
Ron.
The reports of Dan Bongino is reportedly going to lead the
Secret Service. He was also. Bongino.
But with all
By the way, why would he take a pay cut?
That's a great point.
You're going to go from $20 million a year?
It's not about the pay, though. It's an incredible,
me.
You know, he will have worked for the Trump administration, and that tees you up
yeah.
for incredible opportunities. But this is a bipartisan, the interim report on this, and I'll just give you one headline that we said, I'll just remind you, and this was late October, interim staff report investigating these stunning security failures July 13th, Butler, Pennsylvania. So when they put this together, when they put this thing together, it is going to be, it's going to be damning.
It's of course.
It's bipartisan, but they're going to detail at every level because they've been issuing all these subpoenas for all of these different individuals in law enforcement that testified under oath. And so all of that's going to come out, and it's there's just calling these security failures epic. So you're going to see a cleaning of the house. They all know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Ron Roe Jr. is losing it.
All right. Did you guys see this? This the women's bathroom in the United States Capitol building was stormed by twerking LGBTQA plus male activists. So these are bros. These are dudes.
Yeah.
dressed up as women, twerking. Going into a women's bathroom. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to see this.
It's pretty funny.
All right, roll it, Philip. Nick, you want to describe this?
This is what we do.
Yeah.
When ladies go to the bathroom.
Chick shaking it with multicolored pants.
Not a chick, bro.
Oh.
None of these are chicks, dude. Look at that guy.
Look at that. He's not even trying to be a...
Hey, we got a KN95 mask. And we got somebody dressed up like they're in a Macy's ad. That person's sitting on the sink. That's great.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
They're all dressed up with hair and nails and... Their lashes are better than mine.
Nancy Mace needs to go in there with a steel folding chair.
Well, she went in there. Apparently, they were all arrested.
Yes, they were.
So
they were read their Miranda rights and shipped out.
But see,
looks kind of insurrectionish to me. That's just my first stance. I don't know. This looks like a threat to democracy.
See, I don't find. Here's the thing.
A fake vajayjay 6.
By the way, those stall doors are pretty elegant. Look at those.
Yeah, that's a nice bathroom.
Hardwood.
That is a nice bathroom.
But see,
hopefully nobody was in there dooting.
Yeah. Right? But they don't have the drop down that goes all the way down on the side. So now you can sit when you're sitting there.
I don't care. Here's the thing,
you can
honestly.
See other people's feet.
I'm going to be, maybe some people will hate me for saying this.
I love it.
But if I was running in this bathroom, and you know, we get like the 45-second minute, you know, 45-second bathroom break. If I'm running in there to go to the bathroom, those are very nice individual stalls. They have to actually have wooden doors.
Yep.
These are adults.
The nicest stalls I've ever seen.
They're the nicest. Yeah. Seriously, we the taxpayers pay for that.
Of course.
I would not even notice, even if they were dancing.
Yeah.
I would be like running in there, doing my business, wash my hands, run out. I don't really care. It doesn't. I know some people are bothered, and I respect that.
Yep.
And you mentioned, you know, Nancy Mace, as an elected official, she was also she's a survivor
mm-hmm.
of a brutal attack and, yep. and sex assault.
Right.
So I don't relate to her, and I totally respect her,
yep.
and I think she has a voice that should be respected. But for me personally, as a female, if there are men going in our bathroom, I don't know about it. I don't care. That is not the issue at all on Capitol Hill. The issue that has taken center stage this week has to do mm-hmm. with children and invasive chemical and surgical treatments of children that alter them for life and make it so they can never experience having children in their lives. And some of these decisions are being made for them when they're as young as 8 years old. This has nothing to do with trans people using bathrooms. It has nothing to do with trans adults' choice of what they're doing with their bodies. That's not what this is. This is about children.
Yes. Well said.
All right, we teased this a while ago. Joe Scarborough went off yesterday. I pulled two clips. He went off literally for 20 minutes. So apparently this whole thing started when David Frum was a guest on their show, and he made some sort of flippant comment about Pete Hegseth being drunk at Fox News and saying you have to be drunk to work at Fox News or something like that.
Yeah.
And apparently Mika and Joe thought it was kind of out of bounds that he said that. So came back from the break or whatever like that and just said something like, you know, we don't endorse it. Something like that. And then all of these news articles were written were like, see, they're scared. They're scared of their new boss. You know, all of this stuff was written.
Right.
So he used this 20-minute soapbox to go on and on about how the whole Trump thing, you know, because they met with Trump at yep. Mar-a-Lago. That's really the focus of this entire thing, because you can tell that he's been boiling inside about this.
Reading comments on social media.
Oh, my God. So what's interesting to me, and we said this 20 minutes ago, is that not in one of the clips I pulled, but I watched the entire 20 minutes. They reference tomorrow's show, meaning Friday's show, which would be today. They ain't on today.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, it's Wake Up with Willie.
Yeah.
It's the Willie.
This was not a planned day off.
It's the Willie Wake Up show right now.
This was not a vacation.
No. All right. Let's start with cut four, Phil.
The sound of fear.
Uh-oh.
The apology. None of that is true. But guess what? This is what's been going on now for several weeks. You know, we went down to talk to the president-elect. And people wrote articles that were just false. But you know what we did? We did the corporate thing. Corporate said, don't say anything. Just keep your head down. What did the royals say? Never explain, never complain, whatever. We did that. We enjoyed our Thanksgiving. We're like, you know what? People are upset. With some of our guests, some of our friends, maybe we snuck up on them too fast. Maybe we should have given them more of a warning. Whatever, it's fine. But guess what? The main complaint was that we called Donald Trump's rhetoric fascist during the campaign. And then we went down to have an off-the-record comment with him. Guess who else does that?
Uh-oh.
Let me see. From the New York Times.
The New York
Washington
Times.
Post, Washington Post. You know what? I even think folks from The Atlantic.
I think, actually.
I think they might be
probably
doing
that. Stop it for a second. Stop it for a second.
They're nuking all future potential landing spots.
It's amazing to me when they're not going after the right on this. They're going after their own side.
That's right. Yep. Left will always devour its own. Been saying it for years, folks.
It's amazing because they know. They've been reading.
Yeah, of course they are.
They know that their comments or their trip and then talking about it went over like a lead balloon. They can't deal with it.
Is Mika Brzezinski on X?
I don't know.
Sure. It does not look like it. I'm searching her.
She deleted her account.
Joe Scarborough.
Right? Yep.
Joe Scarborough is, and he's got two. Okay, so my point of wondering was, I always like when certain really, really high-end media members are not on social media because they pretend like it doesn't matter and they don't pay attention to it, but you know they have like a burner account to see what people are saying about them. Scarborough is on X, so he can obviously see the comments. I'd be willing to bet that Mika, if she got rid of her account or never had one, goes in and looks. Probably Joe more than her.
Yeah.
I think Joe is one of those very sensitive to what people are typing about.
100%. You're 100% right.
I think you're right. Sorry, Greg.
Yeah.
She has the thicker skin. But here's the thing. Here's what's going on. Now they're lashing out. Joe's losing it, right?
Yep.
And they're lashing out at all these people who are critical of them. They thought, oh, let's go away for Thanksgiving. This will die down. They see that it's not dying down. They see their fate.
Mm-hmm.
And what is going to happen next is, who do you turn on when everybody's turned on you? They're going to turn on each other.
They are.
And I've been predicting this.
Oh, these two, you mean?
These two.
Oh,
Mika and Joe.
Oh, this will be great.
Oh, my God. It's going to be epic.
Who gets divorced first? Mika and Joe or Kamala and Dougie? Poll question.
All right.
But I love how Scarborough's sitting there talking about the royals.
He's royal?
Like, wait a minute. First of all, Scarborough, you make more than your bosses do, okay? So they might be elitists, but you're above them on the salary totem pole.
Good point.
All right? Stop.
All right. Keep going with this one clip.
Background with the incoming president and president-elect.
Yeah.
They were doing, in fact, as somebody wrote during this outrageously stupid, immature series of articles that lied time and time again about us.
That I read.
Reporter said, well, I'd be fired if I had the opportunity to go in and talk to somebody who's incoming president of the United States. And I didn't do it. Ask any journalist at the New York Times and New York Post. And that's the funny thing. People at the Washington Post especially, hair on fire, media report, how dare they, how dare they. At the same time that the Washington Post is doing the same thing, trying to speak to the president on background, trying to speak to people around the president. That's what reporters do. And by the way, guess what? That's what I've been doing for years.
They're not reporters, though.
No, they just give long-winded.
They're not journalists either.
Dining room table commentary.
He was a congressman.
Yeah. Republican congressman.
Well, you know what, though? He can have this little hissy fit meltdown, but dude, you have nobody to blame but yourself. I mean, let's go back to April. You told America that Joe was as sharp as a tack. This is the best Joe we've seen. 8 weeks later, Joe was brain dead on June 27th in Atlanta on a debate stage. And you called Trump a Hitler. He's a fascist. And then you're bending the knee to him.
Yep.
So, like, you know, when people call you out on your BS, you know, you're still cashing checks. So why don't you just man up and double down?
Let me play one more because I see the president-elect is in the on-deck circle. I can see him getting ready right now. Putting on
who they judge?
Yep. All right. This is just a little bit more. Phil, roll the 10-5 there.
The only difference between what we did on that visit and what the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, everybody else is doing is
here. Stop.
We were transparent. We actually told
you. Stop for a second. 20 minutes, guys. Uh-huh. 20 minutes.
So not only does he lose 50% of his audience, he then nukes all of the other colleagues that are in agreement with their talking points. He's going to be forced to work for Newsmax.
And by the way, Dawn, you've worked in television.
Sure.
20 minutes in television? I mean, come on. We can do that in radio, but 20 minutes of television is unheard of.
It is unheard of.
So the fact that they obviously they didn't allow it because he's not on today. And it doesn't appear to me, because in the clip they were saying tomorrow's guest, we'll have David Frum on tomorrow to talk about it. And they're not on
there
this morning.
But his mistake was, I can tell you, when he said, what did he say? We did the corporate thing in one of the first clips that you aired.
Yeah.
So inciting corporate, that was a huge mistake. Because that gets the attention of corporate and the attorneys.
Yeah.
And they're already, you're already on the chopping block. We know that Comcast wants to sell this. Calling out corporate, idiotic move.
All right, keep rolling, Phil.
I'm surprised Mika didn't say.
Sorry.
I'm surprised Mika didn't say take a tight shot of him. Just take a tight shot. I'm just on the two shot. Put him on the tight shot.
It's funny you say that, though. What's so uncomfortable about this is that she wants to chime in too, but he shushes her.
Yeah.
Like there's a second where she was about to say something, and you can see his hand go like this, and yeah. I'm like, wow, that's a yep. little. That's a little douchebaggery, isn't it?
That's what I do to Kristen when she tries to talk during the Eagles game. It's quiet.
All right, bro, Phil.
It works day in and day out, and you're just like watching this show day in and day out. I understand that you'd be like, wow, okay, man, that's sudden. But for media reporters to lie, to pretend that this is a shock, to try to get clips, for Washington Post reporters and columnists say, how dare they go see him after they said he was a fascist? And that's exactly what the Washington Post is doing. That's exactly what the Wall Street Journal is doing. That's exactly what the New York Times. Yeah, you know what you call it? You call it their job. And let me say this. Two things. You can do two things at the same time. You can say he had fascist rhetoric and still go in and talk to him.
Yeah.
You know why I do that?
Why?
To get the read of the man.
Okay.
You know why I went in and talked to Macron? To get the read of the man at a crucial time in EU funding and NATO funding. You know why I went to leaders in the Middle East who were angry at the United States and I sat there and I listened to them attacking me personally for 45 minutes because of U.S. policy? You know why I do that?
Why, Joe?
To get the read of the leader, to get the read of where the country's going. So I can come back here and talk to you and let you know what the hell is going on.
Oh, well, thank
context
you.
And
give you context, insight, and background. You know everybody we have on the show that's
yourself.
A reporter? It's what they do every day. They speak on background.
Come on.
I go to the Middle East so I can tell you peasants what the word is.
Joe Scarborough is trying to justify why he's still relevant and what the truth is. He knows he's not a reporter. Mika was, and so she can walk that line better. But for him to say this and for him to act surprised at this is absurd. It's different. They know it's different. For WAPO or CNN's Caitlin Collin was down there talking to Trump people. That's very different than these two who were personal friends to Trump and personally attacked him and were calling him horrible things. It was all personal. It was not journalism. And now for them to go back and kiss the ring and suck up and now make this out to be, oh, I was just being a journalist. Give me a break.
And how about the cut? I'm glad you mentioned Collins. Did you see the pictures of the Collins with Todd Blanche, the Trump attorney, at Mar-a-Lago having lunch together? These people are all full of
crap. They're all full of crap. Thank you. All right.
As I was saying.
He's coming up next.
We will talk to
him.
The Patriot of the Year?
Trump.
Wait. Oh, he's the Patriot of the Year. That's right, Don Staslin.
That's
the Patriot of the Year. This is his first appearance after that that great honor that everybody was shocked that he became Patriot of the Year for 5 years.
Yeah, I honestly thought it would be Adam Schiff. But another bet I lost.
Shifty Schiff.
Yeah, that's right. And we will talk to the president on the other side as Sean Farris joins us for his weekly Friday appearance on the other side of Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, simmering in the crock pot today, the grandma's homemade meatballs. Not homemade by, you know, me or my grandma, but thanks to What a Crock. What a Crock has saved me so many times, I can't even tell you. During the election, all the work we've been doing, all the meetings we've been going to, all the events, I'm so thankful for whatacrock.com. What a unique and useful gift this time of year for anybody on your list. And they've been a gift to myself, quite frankly, this fall and into the winter months. So I'm going to tell you about whatacrock.com's delicious, easy-to-prepare meals. If you haven't heard me talk about them before, WhatACrock makes it so simple. I put one of the meals into my slow cooker in the wee hours of the morning, go about my day. It's on low. When we come home, dinner is waiting and simmering. And Larry's like, oh, what's for dinner? The kids are like, Mom, this is delicious. WhatACrock meals make for an excellent gift this holiday season. Anyone who could use a little help and who can't use a little help in the kitchen, or maybe just looking for an easy meal while preparing for the holidays. People recovering from surgery or illness, new parents, college kids, their chef-curated gift boxes are specially designed to fit any occasion, from a get-well-soon gift to a holiday greeting gift. And want them to choose their own meals? You can just give the gift of a Whatacrock digital gift card. I promise you, they're going to love it. And unlike most of these meal kit companies, there is no prep required, no chopping, slicing, or searing at all. Cleanup is so quick and easy. It's as simple as, like I say, drop that meal in your slow cooker. Dinner's one and done. No subscription, no commitment required to order. So you can just order what you want when you want it. Use promo code WPHT. You're going to get $10 off your first order. WPHT is the code. Get $10 off your first order. Visit whatacrock.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Nick, Dawn, and myself will be giving the Eagles picks at the end of the show today, around 9:55, for the McCausland Lock of the Week. But I'm looking right now. This is FanDuel, by the way. FanDuel.com/Greg if you want to sign up right now. It looks like the Eagles are a 13.5-point favorite against Carolina on Sunday. Finally, a 1 p.m. game that we can watch. Tackle the NFL action on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. I think that spread's too high. America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if you win. FanDuel Sportsbook Act gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL all in one place. So when you get a hunch in the middle of the game, you can check it out. You can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. Just go to FanDuel.com/Greg to join today. FanDuel.com/Greg today. You'll get $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/Greg. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 1210 WPHT and the NFL. 21 and over, President PA, first online, real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as an non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. By the way, the 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Winter Ford, W-I-N-N-E-R Ford, Winter Ford. The Winter Ford Cherry Hill Get Ready Holiday Sales event is here. See Dino Rucci and his team for discounts and rebates of up to $10,000 on new Fords. Call 800-428-4000 for details. Check your savings at winterford.com. That's winterford.com, sponsoring the 8 o'clock hour. Thank you, Winter Ford.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
It was hard not being here last Friday, right? On, they call it Black Friday. You're not supposed to call it that. They say now it's Friday of color, right? because you don't want to have any problems. But true. We had a beautiful meeting over the weekend. I don't know if you heard about it, but with Justin Trudeau of Canada, right?
Yeah. Yep.
You look at what he does, and this is a guy. He sits when he pees, right? He pees sitting down. This is the guy who pees sitting down. And he does it usually right next to Lindsey Graham. And Justin Trudeau said he doesn't want to come to the Capitol because women are not allowed in the men's room and vice versa. So this is one of these people. But we are looking at very closely adding Canada as our 51st state. And we're looking at it. They took away a lot of the people's guns over there. But if they're a 51st state, we can cover them with the Second Amendment. But we love Canada. Canada is a tremendous place. Chris Christie loves Canada a lot because this is a guy who's addicted to maple syrup. And you saw what happened yesterday with Chris. There was an earthquake in California and a tsunami. Oh. Apparently, he fell off a cruise ship and washed away.
I didn't realize he had to do that.
But you look at Canada, right? And you look at what we did. We spoke with Justin Trudeau, and he said to me, "Sir, we don't want you to hit us with tariffs." I said, "We're going to slap you so hard with tariffs." He said, "Sir, please don't talk dirty to me. You don't like that. You know, we don't like it." I said, "Not that kind of slap, Justin. Oh. We're not going to do that. But we're going to cut off your soy, too."
Oh,
and
no.
He said, "Please don't do that. Please don't do that. I need my," he said to me, "Sir, I need my soy. I need to have low tea. I need my soy." And I said, "Justin, you definitely take after your mother, because Fidel Castro was no soy boy, I can tell you that. But we have a tremendous relationship with Canada, and they're going to get in line. That much I can tell you, because Justin Trudeau's a weak little person, right?" Yeah. And I said, "Justin, we do not want to have to expose you to the world and tell everybody that you sit when you pee. But they all know it anyway. You look at them. They all know it anyway. Well, we're very happy to be back, right? 1210 WPHT. Yeah. Tremendous place. Yep. Philadelphia, yep. Not a tremendous place. But we love this radio station.
Donald J. Trump's joining us here on Kale and Company. Let's start with the big story that we began the week with, sir, and that was Joe Biden pardoning his son, Hunter Biden. Your thoughts on the pardon from the big guy to the little guy?
Well, it looks like Hunter Biden is the poster child of white privilege, right? You look at him, he's a crackhead. And I wrote a song about him a couple of years ago called Hunter the White-Nosed Crackhead, okay?
Oh.
It goes to the tune of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And it was very big. A lot of people liked it. It was beautiful ratings, right? It got number one all over the place. Everybody sings it. You know, they say the Christmas carol, they say you're singing Hunter the White-Nosed Crackhead all over the neighborhood, but now you can't call him that because he got a pardon for doing crack and all of the crazy things. He got a pardon for everything that I got impeached for. I can't believe it. And this was the second turkey that crooked Joe Biden pardoned in a week. First you had the turkey pardon, then you had Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
And soon he's going to be pardoning Kamala Harris of the Gizzard of Oz. You know, that neck that she's got. It's becoming its own entity. You look at it. She's cracking. It's really terrible. It's horrible when you look at her. And she was drunk at a holiday party yesterday. They say Pete Hegseth has a drinking problem. Yet you look at Kamala Harris, the female version of Jack Sparrow. You look at that. A raging alcoholic. She's a raging drunk. She's a crazy person. A raging something else. So we're not supposed to say, but she's horrible. 93% turnover rating. Draw your own conclusions. But you look at Hunter Biden. They pardoned him for everything he did in Ukraine. They pardoned him for everything. You know, the party of gun control just pardoned a guy for using guns while on very, very bad drugs. And so they ought to be ashamed of themselves. We only issue fantastic pardons. These people issue stupid pardons. Stupid pardons for stupid people. And that is why crooked Joe Biden is looking at pardoning people like Anthony Fauci and Liz Cheney, who looks a lot like Miss Piggy. I want to ask her, where the hell is Kermit, by the way? And you look at these people. The pardons are a disgrace. They all ought to be ashamed of themselves.
I agree. Donald Trump joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Yesterday on the Capitol Hill, big day for Doge as Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, as well as the Senate Doge Caucus, really revealing just how much the federal government is not doing. I think this is, at least from the citizen standpoint, everyday Americans, I think they are very anxious and eager to see what Vivek and Elon can do. Your thoughts, especially on their self-imposed expiration date of July 4th, 2026.
Well, this is the only department in the government that doesn't want to stick around, right? You see all these people, it gets bloated, right? Like Chris Christie's waistband, right? He's a very, very, his waistline. He's a bloated guy, and he's one of the only people in history to break the lap band. You know, he got a lap band, and he snapped it immediately after he started consuming lots and lots of donuts and lots of food. You know, they called it a snap band, not a lap band, because he broke it very quickly. But you look at the Department of Government Efficiency. These are tremendous people. Vivek, we love Elon. We love all of these people. And we're going to trim. It's called trim the fat. We're putting the government on Weight Watchers. A lot of people are going to look at it. We're going to make America healthy again. A lot of people are going to love it. But the Department of Government Efficiency is going to be a big, beautiful, highly respected department. They call it Doge, right? Just like Dogecoin. We love crypto. Crypto's a tremendous thing. And congratulations to all of the people who bought Bitcoin. 100,000. They call it the Trump pump. A lot of people are very excited about it. They call it the Trump. It's a beautiful pump, right? A lot of people are excited. And a lot of people are also very upset about something that Crooked Joe did. Did you see him go to? He went to, it's called Angola. He can't even find it on a map.
It's true.
He was being led around like a dog through Africa. They didn't want him to fall around. He fell asleep at a meeting. And by the way, I got along very well with Africa. Beautiful continent. I even blessed the rains down in Africa. Have you heard about it?
Did, yes, yeah.
It's going to take some time to do the things we never had, right? It's going to take some time. It's going to take a lot to drag me away from you, by the way. There's nothing. He says, sir, there's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. I blessed the rains down in Africa. Beautiful place. like a leprous rising above the Serengeti. We love it. That's what they call me, by the way, but not leprous. They call me a leopard. And they say a leopard never changes his spots. But you look at Biden, you look at these terrible people, right? The government is in a horrible situation. And we're going to clean it out with DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. Elon, Vivek, they're all doing a fantastic job.
Let's get to the Pete Hegseth story and potentially his replacement floated out there, Ron DeSantis. It seems like you're really, supporting Pete here, and many people think that he will make it through. Some do not. In the event, for some reason, that he does not, are you prepared to use a recess appointment in his cause? And also the possibility and prospects of Ron DeSantis. I know he was not tall enough to be the president, but would he be tall enough to be Secretary of Defense?
He's not tall enough to be Secretary of Defense either, unfortunately. Okay. He's too short. Right? He's too short. You must be this tall, right? This tall to be Secretary of Defense. He's too small. He said to me, but sir, I could wear my boots and make me taller. I said, you're not allowed to wear those. Those are ridiculous, right? You can't do that. But we love Pete Hegseth. He's a tremendous person. He's a warfighter. He's a hero. And they say he has a drinking problem. I say Kamala Harris has a drinking problem, too, although it looks like she has no problem drinking, right? One tequila, two tequila, three tequila, four, right? Five tequila, six tequila, seven tequila, floor. Down she goes, all the way to the floor. Yep. And she spends a lot of time down there, by the way, if you know what I'm talking about, right? Because she drinks a lot. Get your mind out of the gutter, right?
Yeah, right.
Also, she needs to pay off a lot of debt, right? She's in a lot of debt.
Yeah.
And she may have to resort to what we call her old tricks to do that. Ask Montel Williams what we're talking about, right? Or Willie Brown. You don't want to talk about it. We're not supposed to talk about it. But this is what she has to do. It's unfortunate. But we love Pete Hegseth. He's a lot better than the other Pete, by the way. Mayor Pete from South Bend, Indiana. Which I
named Jets!
Right? They named South Bend after his favorite activity. but you look at him. He's a horrible person. He's not qualified to be the transportation secretary. He thinks men can breastfeed. It's impossible. But we love our Pete. Pete Hegseth. He's an American hero. And he's going to get confirmed. Outrageous. He's going to get confirmed. He's a tremendous person. And he is going to be the greatest Secretary of Defense the world has ever seen. That much I can tell you.
Mr. President is outrageous this morning.
Boy, he's on one, is he not? And I got to imagine this last one will be a doozy as well. Sir, your thoughts on winning the Patriot of the Year last night on Fox News?
Well, nobody saw that win coming, right? they said, who could it be, right? Who could it be now? What another tremendous song that I wrote. But when you look at Patriot of the Year, I'm honored, right? And I won it in a landslide. I knew I was going to win. Nobody else thought I was going to win. I knew I was going to win. All the polls said it was going to go to somebody else, but I won. And I won very convincingly. Fox News, tremendous. A lot better than some of these other people, right? You hear Greg Kelly saying bad things about Pete Hegseth. You're not supposed to say bad things about Pete. He's a great guy. But I won Patriot of the Year, and I won it convincingly. I won it in a landslide. Everybody knew it. Nobody thought it was going to happen. You look at ABC. Ann Seltzer said, Kamala Harris is going to win Patriot of the Year. Ann Seltzer, right? And you know what I say about Ann Seltzer? That Seltzer's flat as hell. I can tell you that. She's horrible. No, she's a stupid. You look at her. She's a stupid person. And so is, by the way, Joni Ernst is another stupid person.
Yep.
And she lives in the Iowa that Ann Seltzer lives in. She thinks I'm not very popular there. I won the state by 13 points. She needs to pull her head out of her rear end. It's called a cranial rectumotomy. Get your head out of your rear end, would you please? So you have Joni. You have all these people. I won Patriot of the Year. Pete Hegseth is going to be our Secretary of Defense. Bobby Kennedy is going to make America healthy again.
Yep.
People thought I was going to make him press secretary. I said, what the hell? Are you crazy, people? That's not what we're going to do. But he's a tremendous person. And we won the award like nobody's ever won the award before. It's an incredible honor to be your Patriot of the Year. We did our YMCA. And now did you hear the village people?
Yeah.
Said they might want to perform the song live if I ask them to. We'll see what happens. But we may have a big, beautiful party on Inauguration Day with the village people. We love these people.
Number one, YMCA is now the number one downloaded song according to Billboard for the first week of December.
True.
Wonder why that is. All right, there he is, Donald J. Trump with us, a.k.a. Best. Our buddy, our boy, our pal, Sean Farish from Nashville. I got to tell you, Sean, we'll get to some a lot of your thoughts on all these big stories, but how wild is it that the YMCA from the village people, I actually watched the interview, I think it was the police officer. He was on Fox News at some point this week, and they are fully embracing. And we've seen times in the past, I think it was, wasn't it Carrie Lake that all of a sudden she tried to use Tom Petty, I Won't Back Down, and his estate tried to railroad her for using the song. The village people are embracing it.
Yeah, it's funny. The village people love it. Why wouldn't they, right? I mean, like, he single-handedly brought back the YMCA, right? I mean, this is the thing. I love that little the dance he does. He's been doing that since, you know, his first term.
Right.
But, like, it's cool now. Like, NFL players are doing it. College football players are doing it. UFC fighters are doing it. Like, it's all over. There's, like, TikTok trends and challenges for Thanksgiving. Like, family's doing the Trump boogie. It's beautiful. And I love it. So I've been listening to YMCA for years, and we've been doing that dance for a long time. But the village people, it's so funny. You know, I think, aren't they, like, gay, right? And I think the left is going to be pretty upset the fact that a bunch of gay people support Trump, right?
Didn't they say that it's actually not a gay anthem? Didn't I say that?
No, I think they said it's not a gay anthem, but they are.
Yes.
Village people, right? You look at the people.
Mayor Pete!
I don't want to know what happens in that village.
That's right.
We don't need to talk about it.
Do the South Bend. There you go.
Oh, man.
Sean Farish is with us. Let me actually start here. Speaking of a different song and a different tune, the change, the 180 that Eric Adams has made, big story this week. Want to get your thoughts as a native New Yorker. I mean, he comes out and basically says, yeah, go ahead, cancel me, make my day. I mean, do we have to give Eric Adams some credit here, or is this politics 101 and he's a total fraud?
He's a fraud, okay? He is a total fraud. Do not believe a word that comes out of this guy's mouth. It's long been known. I know a lot of people who worked with him or worked for him with NYPD. It has long been known that the most dangerous place on earth is between Eric Adams and the camera. The guy loves attention. Now, I'm not saying that he's not right what he's saying about the illegal immigration stuff, but he actually campaigned in the summer and fall of 2021 on making New York City and keeping New York City a sanctuary city.
Yep.
So, I mean, I was involved in that race. And here's a tweet from October of 2021, just weeks before he won the New York City mayor's race. Quote, "We should protect our immigrants, period. Yes, New York City will remain a sanctuary city under an Adams administration." Okay. Like, he campaigned on this. He virtue signaled on this. He ran for mayor on this issue. Mm-hmm. Now the issue, and everyone knew when he posted that the city can't handle it. The city can't handle it. And he called people racists over this. I mean, this is an issue that he welcomed and embraced. Now he got it. And now he's blaming the federal government. I understand people want to look at it and say, well, look, the left is eating him alive. And that may very well be what's happening. But I will also say this. I know people familiar with the guy. He is corrupt to the core. And I saw a lot of people. It was a trendy thing to say earlier in the week. Well, maybe we should give him a pardon. Absolutely not. Absolutely not does this guy deserve a pardon. I'll tell you what, he is corrupt. Whether or not this Turkish government indictment is legitimate or not, I don't know. But if he didn't pay for play in that situation, something else has been happening. A lot of things have been happening in New York City regarding Eric Adams and corruption for years. This guy needs to be held accountable. He does not get to now all of a sudden do this political 180 and be absolved of all of his crimes and corruption and trouble that he caused New York City. Whether or not you agree with the things that he's saying, I agree with the things that he's saying,
sure.
But I question the sincerity
of
what and the motives behind why he's saying it. The dude wants a pardon. He wants to get out of jail free card. I hope Donald Trump doesn't give it to him. And I hope he faces the accountability that he deserves to face.
Speaking of New York, as we wrap up, and Sean will be sticking around with us for a good portion of the 9 o'clock hour, Midtown Manhattan, the murder execution, if you will, of the United Healthcare CEO, Brian Thompson, at 50 years old. I mean, it's obviously garnered a ton of headlines these last 3 days or so. And I swear there's more of an infatuation, and I'm speaking specifically with the media, as to who the suspect is, why this occurred, what's the motive. And you compare it to the way Trump's media coverage was after July 13th, or maybe even the attempted assassination in Florida in September at the golf course. And I feel like they're more concerned with, and I'm not trying to downplay it, it's a tragedy, but they're more concerned with a healthcare CEO than a former and now current president of the United States. Do you get that same vibe from the media?
Absolutely. I actually made a post about this yesterday, and I said I find it very interesting that more people are concerned about the United Healthcare CEO and the assassin behind that than they were about Thomas Matthew Crooks or Ryan Wesley Ruth. You know, and I understand that the Thomas Crooks incident, can you believe it happened almost 5 months ago? I mean, it feels like it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Right. Ryan Wesley Ruth, that happened almost 3 months ago at this point, you know, September 15th. But you look at the way the media covered this, and I get it. This guy's at large. Those two guys were caught. So there are some differences, but they're like, they won't stop talking about this United Healthcare CEO. And like you said, it's a tragedy. It shouldn't have happened. It was a brazen attack. It was obviously a targeted attack. But if only the folks that were so concerned about United Healthcare CEO and this assassination, if only they were that concerned about, you know, Thomas Matthew Crooks, he's like, oh, it's no big deal. It's the 20-year-old with four overseas accounts that are encrypted, and he's talking to people we don't know. Yeah, Ryan Wesley Ruth is almost homeless in Hawaii, but he's putting up $150,000 bounties and, you know, clearly has money to fly in and out of Ukraine and all over the world. It's like we sweep that under the rug, but we're digging deep into what happened with the United Healthcare CEO. I don't know what happened with this Brian Thompson. It was an ugly attack. I know he was under investigation for some sort of, you know, insider trading situation. And I don't know. I don't know enough about the situation, but I do find it odd. And I'm a little upset that so many people are concerned with, you know, that case and are not concerned, especially in the media, with, you know, getting to the bottom of, you know, why was Donald Trump in a position to actually, you know, take a bullet? Why did two people within 3 months of each other or 4 months of each other, or actually it was 2 months of each other, why did two people try to take his life? How were they allowed that close? What is their background? Who are they working with? You can't ask those questions. Instead, you hear about the healthcare CEO. So obviously, like you said, a tragedy. And this just goes to show you what's allowed in New York, right? Daniel Penny is being, his character's being assassinated in court. You have Alvin Bragg and Letitia James in New York more concerned with Donald Trump's paperwork crimes, while you have crimes like this and Tren de Aragua and all sorts of violent crime happening in New York City. I mean, it just goes to show you what this city has become. It's unfortunate. You know, I grew up and I went to New York City a lot, and it's a shame. It's really sad to see what that city has become. And a lot of people say, oh, the wake up moment is coming. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if you're a New York City resident, your next mayor is Andrew Cuomo. It is unfortunate, but that's what's coming. That's what's on the horizon. And I don't think New York has learned its lesson yet.
Yep. All right. Sean Farish will stick around in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on the pardons as well as the Hegseth drama and also the big SCOTUS case this week with Tennessee, Sean's current home state. That's all still ahead. 9 o'clock hour as Sean Farish sticks around. It's a Farish Friday on Kale and Company. Woo-hoo! And we're back after this.
There is no greater time of year to give back than the holiday season, right? And that's why my friends from Piazza Premium Automobiles have partnered with the Salvation Army for the Piazza Toy Drive once again. Visit any of the Pennsylvania or Delaware Piazza Premium showrooms, and that's through December 16th. Do this and donate a new unwrapped toy. Your support will make the holidays a little brighter for a local child. Find that dealership nearest you online. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Thank you. Happy holidays. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.